What's up, family? What is going on? Just wanted to share some thoughts. Want to give a second for a couple people to come in. This was just kind of spurred a moment after watching Secrets of Hillsong. So give a few moments for a couple people to come in here. But just wanted to share some thoughts from watching that of what I observed, some concerns, and then just some areas of prayer that I think we should be in prayer for. We should already be in prayer for. We should already be aware of as the body of Christ. But yeah, just some random thoughts. So you know, I watched the documentary on Hulu, and you know, as I'm watching it, you know, there are just several immediate red flags that go off, and so I'm hoping that this can just be a reminder. You know, if you are in pastoral leadership, there is already a filter that we should be operating from, and that filter is the Word of God. And so 1 Timothy 3 is the grid for both pastors and deacons. We also have the book of Titus there as well. My wife and I were watching this, and we're like, you know, just how are certain things, certain behaviors, how is this acceptable? And so just a couple of things. So, you know, one, if you are entering pastoral leadership, there are a couple of things that are very clear in Scripture. Number one, James chapter 3, verse 1, is that you are under stricter judgment. So there is a certain level of scrutiny that needs to be expected with this calling. This is not a job. It's not a profession. It is a calling. It is okay to be compensated, but this is a calling. And so there's a level of scrutiny that comes with this from the Lord. Like, those who choose to teach are under stricter judgment, James chapter 3, verse 1. But then there's Hebrews 13, 17, that gives the responsibility of the pastor, but then also the responsibility of the people. And so it says that the pastor or elder or leader has to give an account to God for the souls of the people. Then it tells the people to make it a joy to do so. You know, and so as I'm watching this, you know, the first thing I think we got to think there was this celebrity culture in the pulpit. This celebrity culture in the pulpit, if you are getting into ministry to be a celebrity, then you've already missed it. You've disqualified yourself in a sense there, because this is not about celebrity. It's about being called. And so you have to decide, do I want to go viral or do I want to be a vessel? In most cases, your character cannot handle both. Virality can expose them. I'm not saying that people who go viral are in sin. I'm not saying that virality is wrong in and of itself, but I'm talking about the heart, the intentions, the motivation of the person that is leading this church. If the goal is to, I'm getting in the ministry to go viral, or I want to see how many times my sermon snippet gets shared, then that is the wrong motives. Like, we're not going into this. God calls us to serve his people. We are under shepherds. We are servants. We are not celebrities, and we should not go into it for that. And so as I'm watching this, and this is bigger than Carl Lent, so I'll mention him because obviously he was even in there. He does up. It's kind of two parts. He responds to it, and it really seems like they just put a neophyte, almost like a new convert from an experiential perspective and a biblical knowledge perspective in this position. But, you know, he had the charisma and he had the two C's, charisma and cuteness. He was attractive man, had charisma. And what was sad is that that's the filter that people are looking for a church. While at a third, they're looking for charisma, a cute speaker, and a cool worship experience. No mention of discipleship, no mention of biblical fidelity, no mention of, and maybe community, right? And so we're looking for these things. And so so if you're trying to be a celebrity, there's a sense where you're going into it with the wrong motives. Number two is just where is the faithfulness to Scripture? Just the faithfulness to Scripture. And so the people don't even know when something heretical is being said, because they're going by those three C's: charisma, cuteness, and coolness, right? And so if we're dressing down, you know, skinny jeans and all those things, it's like, dressing down is okay, but we got to be looking at faithfulness to the Word of God. Is there faithfulness to the Word of God? And so as Crystal and I are watching this, we're just like, man, what is going on here? You know, why isn't the Word of God the emphasis? Why isn't being faithful to the Scriptures the emphasis? But, you know, we're just looking for a cool, charismatic, cute speaker. regardless of doctrine, because we have placed feelings above faithfulness. And so if I can go to a place and I feel good, even if I feel good in my sin, then that's the litmus test people are looking at to judge a church. And that's why that is the wrong litmus test. That is the wrong grid. That is the wrong filter to judge a church by. And so here's the thing. Like, you have thousands of people. And so I'm not against mega churches. I'm not saying that all mega churches are this way. But it just shows the biblical illiteracy within the body of Christ. Someone could say something solid, somebody come right behind them, say something heretical, and both get an applause. Because, again, we're looking at charisma, cuteness, and coolness, as opposed to really being consecrated by the Holy Spirit. And so we got to really look at these things. And so, you know, I just kind of noticed that, like, listen, if you can be viral or you can be a vessel, in most cases, your character cannot handle both. And so one of my prayers is this. My prayer is this. I pray that, Lord, I don't want a platform bigger than my character can handle. I want to cling to you. I want to be faithful to you. You know, that's my heart. In fact, I didn't even do this live until I finished my sermon. And so my sermons are normally, people ask me my schedule all the time. I'm done by Thursday so that my media team can get it for screens, but also so I can enjoy that time with my family, which was the third red flag, is that there's an emphasis on the church and your family as an accessory, when in 1 Timothy 3, your family is a part of your qualifications to see if you called to be a pastor in the first place. Like, it's saying, like, if you cannot manage your own household well, then it says, like, you shouldn't even be in the pulpit. Now, I'm not saying, we all know we're not perfect. We all know that. But we keep using imperfection, especially the prosperity preachers. They use David as an example when David is not our example. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of Christ as dear children. Christ is our example. And David was an under shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He identifies himself as one of the sheep. So we are sheep shepherds serving the people of God. And so when I see guys that are more away than they are present, that's a problem. And I think it's something to look at. Now, I don't have a verse, so I want to be careful about saying if it's sinful. But if you are a pastor, you're called to lead, feed, know, care, protect. But you got to be there to lead, feed, know, care, and protect. And if you're on the circuit more than you are with your people, then we know it's more about being a celebrity than being a faithful under shepherd. And we need to be just faithful shepherds to his people, whether you're pastoring 25 people, 50 people, 500 people, or 5,000 people. And I am grateful that I even get to do this. And we need to see it as a privilege and an honor, not a stepping stone to a platform, which is the fourth red flag I saw watching this, is that people see the church as a stepping stone and the world as the standard. Like, once Lentz in particular, once KD approves him, Justin Bieber approves him, once you have these superstars now approving you, now I've made it. And so the way that's playing out now is, like, once you get a superstar to retweet your video, your Instagram post, or your Facebook post, now you made it. And so we're not trying to hear well done. We're trying to get a retweet. We're trying to get a like. And it's like, man, this is terrible. And so we really got to examine our leaders. And I do think the Lord is doing a pruning, which is a great thing, where people are getting tired of the show, tired of the hoopla, and they just want the word. They want the word of God. They want authentic community and discipleship. Why when we're looking for churches, why isn't discipleship mentioned? When this is the last thing Jesus told us to do, is the first thing the church forgets. The last thing he told us to do, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, and know that I'm with you to the end of the age. Like, discipleship is the thing that he told us to do, is to disciple people. And so, you know, my prayer is that, again, we will look beyond Lentz, because again, this issue is bigger than Carl Lentz, but just seeing that. Another red flag, I guess number five, right, is it they showed, you know, the nanny, his wife caught him, she said in a compromising position with the nanny. He continues to preach, and then it comes out the full affair with the other woman. And this is the cycle we see in these churches because they don't have real elders. When you don't have real elders, and so this is twofold. On one end, obviously Carl Lentz and those that roll like this, and I do pray for his deliverance. I do pray that, you know, he's authentically restored. Let me be clear, we should not rejoice in the fall. We should be praying for their restoration. But at the same time, he was in the documentary. He responded to Hulu and people interviewing. You know, so he does this, he admits it, right? But when these guys do this, they just keep preaching. They just keep preaching like nothing happened. And you see this, and he didn't do this, but they use this verse completely out of context, touch not thine anointed. And so touch not thine anointed is the go to get out of jail free pass for doing whatever you want to do because we put communication gift above character. And then when all this happens, now I'm also looking at the video, which is my sixth red flag, is just seeing people begin to deconstruct and seeing because it was kind of this double talk where Houston is saying one thing about the LGBTQ BTQIA plus community, Carl is saying something, and then this idea in the video is like progressivism is the way the church needs to go. No, it's not. Faithfulness to the word. Now, we need to be welcoming, but we can't affirm a lifestyle the Bible clearly addresses and speaks against. And let me be clear, we got to be careful because the church has for years beat up the homosexual, but then welcomed the heterosexual fornicator because he can play the keys. And I'm saying both are wrong, and it causes church hurt. I recently wrote a book about that. But you know, my prayer is that we will look at them things and we will just see these red flags because all this stuff is addressed in the Bible. All of this stuff is addressed in the Bible. And so I just think it's important to listen, don't go in this to go viral. You're in this to be a vessel. Let me say it again. Don't answer the call. Don't plant a church to go viral. God called you. It's his church. For me, that's why we call the name Vision Church, and it comes from Acts 16:9. We say it's God's vision. God gave this, not my vision, not Pastor Gabe's vision. He uses me, but it's his church. They're his people. He died for them, not me. And I got to stand before him saying, God, I hope that I was faithful to you in pastoring these people. But even before that I was faithful to Crystal, Jamari, and Jordan, my family. Because the most important church is the church at your home address. Because that is a qualifying factor in your call. And we keep celebrating people who neglect their family to go viral. We got to stop. We got to flip it. We got to flip it. And so one of the things we do, and this is just a leadership point, is I take sabbaticals. Our leaders get sabbaticals. We cover three sessions of counseling for our leaders and for our staff. This is not to blow me up. This is because ministry is hard. Sheep bite. You are constantly under stricter judgment and criticism. And pastors, I wrote this in my book. It's a chapter called Attack from the Pews. We got church hurt too. But we must not forget that when we're doing all this speaking, it's that family at home. And the last thing we should want is for our family, in particular our children, to hate the church. Or for a lot of these guys, their first affair is the church itself. Because you give the church your best energy and you give your spouse your leftovers. And that's one of the things I saw in that video that Lentz did. But again, it's bigger than Carl Lentz. It's just a wave where there's no standard. Again, people are trying to go viral instead of being a vessel. And I think in most cases, and again, I'm not saying all, but I think in most cases you can't have both. Don't try to go viral. Just be a vessel. Let's be faithful. faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to His Word, faithful to our families, faithful to His people, faithful to His mission, making disciples. That's what He's called us to do. And so, you know, I just pray that we see that, guys. Just listen, be faithful, man. Listen, you may never see 1,000 people. You may never see 1,000 people. Listen, my church is not even 500 deep. A lot of people talk to me and think, because I, you know, around, like, no, my church is, we've never seen that. We've never seen that. And guess what? I may never see that. And I'm good with it. Because I got an answer to the, for God, to those 500. So I'm going to be faithful to the people we have. I'm going to be faithful to the people we have. And I want to encourage you, if you never see 100, be faithful. If it's 50 showing up, be faithful. Be faithful, man. Be faithful to the people God has called you to, man. Listen, I'm going to start this thing called Ministry Out the Mud, just to share some of the horror stories of ministry. But there was a time where when we started the church, man, like now I stay after, I shake hands. I'm in the lobby, I'm shaking hands, I'm hugging babies. I'm saying thank you, and I'm greeting visitors after the service. There was a time when I was bivocational. I worked at Verizon Wireless, and when I would do the closing prayer, I would say, in Jesus' name, amen, and I would get in my car and have to go to a kiosk on Sundays. I didn't have time to shake hands. And I'm sharing that to say that it's a privilege to do this, but even when I was back then, not even having time to shake hands, I did this, and I'm doing this for His glory. And if you ever get to the point to where you think that my gift deserves a bigger platform, you're headed down the wrong road. If you start thinking that your gift, your charisma is the foundation of the church and not the gospel, you've put virality over being a vessel. And you're headed down that same road to where your family becomes a hindrance instead of a help. Where your elders become people in your way as opposed to God's means of protecting and ordering and having correct polity in the church. The people become a stepping stone to your platform as opposed to people made in God's image needing an under shepherd as you serve the chief shepherd. Whenever you find yourself elevating your gift and thinking that you are the source of the church and that all these people living off of your gift, you headed down the wrong road. You headed down the wrong road. And so those are just some thoughts I wanted to share. Let me try to interact. I got my phone, y'all, so I couldn't use my computer. Let me see any of y'all. What are y'all thoughts? Any thoughts here? Let me see what thoughts y'all got. What thoughts y'all got? Any questions right quick? I'll try to answer some questions. Like I said, this was just random. But I want y'all to hear. I had to finish my sermon first because I want to have my schedule honor my primary call before the online audience, right? That's why I haven't been able to do much Urban Perspective stuff this year, just because the church needed my family. My daughter's a senior, and so that's my primary responsibility. And you know, I just pray, because sometimes y'all don't get to share this side of me with you guys. And so, but people close to me know how my schedule was set up. So, all right, here we go. Who got this question right here? Sebastian, how can we identify this behavior in our own church? Yeah, so I think one thing we can do is you have to confront preacher idolatry. And let me be clear that I'm not exempt from it. So we started announcing my sabbatical, and the first year I announced it, like, a lot of people didn't show up. And I had to keep rebuking people. Like, these are other qualified men at this church. And I get that I'm the primary voice, but I am not the only person God uses. So look for kind of the preacher idolatry. Are the people, like, cool skipping because the main pastor's not preaching? Do they go to certain TV preachers? When they're not sick, they legitimately could be there, but they choose not to show up. The other thing is look in your own heart, you know, search me and know my anxious thoughts, you know, that psalm. So really begin to look at that within to see if you are beginning to place your gifting above your calling. And again, I keep using, you know, I love alliteration. Look, if you're trying to go viral, like, you know your motives. Like, if you're trying to go viral as opposed to being a vessel, you know, that's a sign, a bad sign. So those are, I think, three things that we can begin to look at. Is there an emphasis on discipleship in your church? Is there an emphasis on community? And again, it's not perfect. Vision is certainly not perfect, but we're not complacent or comfortable. We constantly want to make sure our church is healthy and growing and changing. So I appreciate that question. Any other question? Let me see what else we got here. What else we got? Any other questions, y'all? I still have a couple more minutes before logging off, but you know, I just wanted to kind of share some random thoughts from watching the documentary and just really watching it with my wife, and we're just really disheartened. And we weren't surprised by it. I mean, I got my own church hurt stories, my own experiences, but just it's so many red flags. Oh yeah, also this is a resource for you, Church Hurt. Just came out this year. This is a resource for you that I hope churches go through that. But who this question? Issa, with a zeal as a vessel playing the factor of ministry. Yeah, I think we should be zealous, right? So when Paul talks about they had a zeal without knowledge, he didn't demean zeal, but he was saying that with that zealousness, if you will, there needs to be knowledge, right? We need to know what we believe and why. And so there should be a passion to want to be used by God. Like, I want to put out good content. I don't want to put out trash. I don't want to put out, you know, stuff that what it talks about in everything, like do it as unto Lord and not man. So it shouldn't be mediocre, right? But at the same time, I want to make sure it's faithful. I do a lot of things in groups. I do group exegesis every week. Even my sermons are crafted in community. Now, I'm doing all the exegesis and all that stuff, but we're doing things in community because we're called to be a body of Christ. And so I think zeal is good, but make sure that zeal is coupled with knowledge and humility and just a posture of being willing to receive feedback. So great question. Who else we got right here? Here's another one. What does zeal, then how do you guard your own heart as a pastor from the platform being centered around your charisma as a communicator? So again, I'm just being very transparent and personal. So I do get that encouragement of my preaching ability, but a couple of things I do is I intentionally remove myself in terms of our media team. I don't only post when I'm preaching in terms of clips. I get feedback weekly from people. I get feedback weekly. And some of it is critique. It's not always positive. And so, and I've been preaching a while, but I still want to grow as a communicator. I still want to grow as a preacher. So I think you want to always keep a posture of humility. I still watch others. I still watch G.E. Patterson. I don't hoop. I never will. That's not how I communicate. But I appreciate some of the old voices. I think so. It's important to listen. It's important to be able to receive critique. It's important to not only receive it, but invite it. And so I'm literally getting it weekly, so that I keep a posture of humility. And then this is for me, but I suggest this for everyone. I lay prostrate during my quiet time. I try to keep if the Lord sinks it, because it's he's in control. But a lot of times, I'm going through Joshua with the church this weekend. We're going to be in Romans 8. But I tend to separate that, and I lay prostrate and I'm praying over myself, praying over my family, the church, because that posture of me laying prostrate reminds me of how I need to operate before the Lord. That is a bodily reminder of a spiritual reality. And so those are a couple of things I do. I want to suggest that and lay that before you. And so appreciate the feedback. Daniel, what up, man? Amen, amen. I'll take one more. We got time for one more. One more. Thank y'all for hopping on as well. I appreciate it. If you feel this is helpful, share it. But it don't matter, because my goal ain't to go viral, but to be a vessel. All right, so here it is. Let me see. We got one more here. How have you gone about establishing these exegetical communities? Wesley, what up, bro? Did this come about through relationship and the network? So, no, so the group exegesis was me. There was a method to my madness. Number one, it helped me identify leaders. Number two, it helped me identify gifted communicators, because I knew I didn't want to be the only voice. I don't need to be the only voice. Number three, it allowed me to grow as a communicator. Number four, it provided several different eyes on the text, several different eyes and perspectives on the text. So it was literally just me saying, hey, you know, if you're free on Tuesdays at 10 in the morning, I get a group of people and we're going through this. And it was one faithful brother for the most part, Brandon Russell, shout out to B. We call him the professor. And it was me and him for a while, but now it's me, two to three elders can show up for this, a sister named Lisa, who has her master's from Southeastern, and we're getting these different perspectives on the text. Again, faithful to the context, the original context, the historical context, the geographical context, then obviously we're using maybe modern vernacular to be faithful, but I'm getting those different views. And so it's just as simple as just inviting a group of people to be with you during your study time and being intentional, being faithful. I've been doing GE, group exegesis, for 8 years now. I've been doing GE for 7 years now. And again, it just keeps me doing things in community. And I teach what's called a sermon triangle. And we come up with what we call a thought tattoo. Let me know if y'all want me. I may just do one on my preaching process if that's helpful. But the thought tattoo is what Brian Chappell calls the fallen condition focus, which is the main idea of a pericope, a certain section of scripture. And so that's how I come up with the thought tattoo. It's a big idea of that section. And then we go from there. So great questions, y'all. I appreciate y'all. Let me see. My pleasure, Wes. My pleasure, bro. Well, listen, I hope this was helpful, y'all. I just want to share these thoughts, you know, watching that with the wifey. And I think my wifey was on a little bit earlier. What's up, boo? Love y'all. Hope this was helpful. Have a great weekend. Don't try to be a vessel. I'm sorry. I said that wrong. Do try to be a vessel. Don't try to go viral. Just be a vessel. All right? If he allows you to go viral, great. But not at the expense of being used by him. Place being a vessel over going viral. I love y'all. Peace.